You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Another episode of Black Hail in the Big Leagues. Okay, I'm workshopping that. I am your host, Salisha Thomas, and today we've got a Broadway veteran on here, folks. She was in Sunset Boulevard along Glenn Close, Tootsie on Broadway, Beautiful, the Carol King musical on tour and on Broadway, and most recently, Company, the new musical coming to Broadway pre-pandemic. Also, Encore City Center, and so many other things. Welcome, Brittany Coleman.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, full of giggles. I just love hearing you speak.
Ugh. Oh my goodness. I'm over here just being so silly. I'm like, put me in a room with a microphone. I can talk all day.
It's perfect.
How are you, Brittany?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. You know, we were 9 previews away from opening in Company.
And my God.
Crazy, right? We got the rug literally pulled out from under us. So, you know, we're not eligible for these virtual Tonys happening this year. But I know.
Have those nominations and things gone out?
I don't think so. I think the most we've heard is that they are planning to hold the Tony Awards virtually. They've put out a list of who is eligible, I believe, like what shows are eligible to be on it. But
okay. I'm like, I want to know more. How do I not know these things? Like,
I know information these days, real sparse.
Right. And also, like, not being around a Broadway family on a daily basis, you don't just, like, hear things that you would in the dressing room.
Of course. I bet you're missing your family, too. My gosh.
I know. We were 11 days. We were 11 days into rehearsal. You guys were nine shows away from previews.
Yeah. Yeah. We had about 2 weeks of previews under our belt. So we had some audiences. There was some buzz. But yeah. I mean, you guys are just getting to know each other. Oh, it's good. It's good. Just blessings all around. Such a great group of people. And
I cannot wait until everything comes back. Because it sounds
wild.
It sounds like, that's like, Bobby, baby, right? Bobby, come on over for dinner.
Yes. It's like the first 10 minutes of the show are all Bobby, 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 baby, Bobby, Bobby. Just so much Bobby.
That's amazing. And what theater are you guys at?
We're at the Jacobs.
Okay.
So we're on 45th. Oh, God. I think it's 45th Street. I'm just used to our, you know, the stage door entrances are always different.
Yes.
Like where the actual theater is. So I'm like, I don't know where my place of work is. I just know who buzzes me in at the security desk every day.
That's so Amazing. Okay, so like I've had such a hair crush on you since the day I met you, which was, I still remember when I met you, because we both started that national tour of Beautiful together. August 10th, 2015 was our first rehearsal.
Oh my God.
Do I remember that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That anniversary wasn't too long ago then.
Hello.
Oh.
Right? Wow.
That was so long ago.
Okay. If y'all are listening and you don't know who Brittany is, if you don't know who Brittany is, I'm going to need you to go look her up, and I will be posting all of her social media handles. I need you to look at how like, oh my goodness, you, I can't even, she's so, oh. Brittany, you're so gorgeous. Literally, your hair is just, okay, so what I want to know about you, I want you to tell me, from as long as I have known you, you have always seemed, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, you have always seemed to have a very healthy relationship with your hair.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, let's just, you know, rip that Band-Aid off. I'm mixed and my mom is white. So that's a thing.
Okay.
Like, already a thing. And so, of course, growing up, mom, if you're listening, I love you so much. I value you and treasure you forever. All of my pictures are, she used to use Hawaiian Silky, if you ever use that. It's kind of like Cream of Nature. She used Cream of Nature too, actually, but just like a moisturizing hair dressing of sorts. So she put that in my hair. I can't remember if it was wet or dry. It was probably dry. And then she would
said, "Mom, I love you."
And then she would brush it. You know what I mean? So I have many pictures of like glistening, kind of dry, but also like shiny because it's greasy.
Right.
Type of like triangle hair, and we'd put a headband in it.
I can picture it.
Oh man! I mean, it's just big. I have so much hair. Like I really freak out. Wig designers, but also just hairstylists. A lot of people think I have extensions when I come in to get my hair cut.
And you're like, this is all me, baby.
Yep. It's thick and it's just a lot of like hair follicles per square inch. So
wait, question then. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand. So like in all respect to mom, in case mom's listening, like did you, like looking back at from what you know now, do you think she knew what to do with your hair? Or was she figuring it out? Like, what did you think? What do you think?
I don't think she knew, because then when I would go see my dad's side of the family, my aunties would, you know, ask permission if they could do my hair. And then 10 minutes later, I come back with
cornrows.
I mean, well, like my hair's too thick for cornrows. My cousins.
What?
I remember there was a distinct occasion that happened. It was like some sort of family gathering, and they tried to cornrow my hair and they gave up. They're like, it's too much.
Wait, what?
I'm telling you, many hair follicles per square inch. It does not like to part easily.
You have so much hair.
It's so much.
Wait, how would they do your hair? Please tell me they did like twists with barrettes at the end. Like,
absolutely. What? It's the barrettes with the little plastic balls on the ends.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes, so many of those. So I remember, like, there was one hairstyle that, I definitely got a picture of, but my aunt parted it right down the middle, and then I had basically two side pigtails, but, like, the pigtails weren't gathered at the top of my head. They were gathered at the side, almost sticking, like, 90 degrees out.
Okay.
And then she braided them, so I had two little braids looking like Pippi Longstocking, a little bit. And then she gathered them, the two of them, back to the back of my head, and then put the hair tie with the little balls on the end of it. It was bizarre. It was so bizarre.
That's
sounds
amazing.
Like a cruel joke, doesn't it? It's so terrible.
I mean, okay, so wait, when did you learn to what to do with it?
Yeah. So I guess like I went to a hippie school growing up. Like I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's just like hippie dippy eclectic college folks. And the school that I went to was kind of this like alternative, like nobody has desks, everybody sits in beanbags, we don't get grades.
Great.
We get stickers, you know.
Awesome.
So like as far as appearances and images go, anything went. Like nobody cared what you looked like. A lot of us just wore tie-dye most of the time or like something comfortable.
Straight up hippy-dippy.
Pretty much.
A dream, Brittany.
So, you know what I mean? And so, like, I grew up, like, not having this kind of, like, conscious attitude towards what I did with my hair. As long as it was up, out of my face, I had so many scrunchies to that. Then we get to middle school, like, eighth grade, when I started liking boys. And I realized, like, oh, I have curly hair. How do I do this? And then I got to cut, like, really, really short. And we had one guy who was cutting like every head of hair in my family, and he taught my brother, because my brother is mixed as well, like he taught both of us like how to take care of our hair a little bit and like, you know, style when wet. And it was just easy for me to do my hair when it was super short, so it was like kind of like a chin length like layered bob for most of high school and the like seventh and eighth grade. And that's when I was like, okay, let's try at least.
Was it always natural? Did you straighten it back then?
Oh man, I remember I went over to my Auntie Myra's house, and I think I was love her. One of my many aunties. I think I was in sixth or seventh grade. And we had a sleepover with my cousins, and my aunt was like, I'm going to introduce you to the hot comb. And so was the first time I ever had my hair straightened. It must have been seventh grade, because I remember eighth grade graduation, I had my hair straight. She did it again. And I've only ever straightened it with heat. I've never chemically.
So when you straightened it with a hot comb, did you like it? I mean, like, I just remember, like, when I got my hair straightened for the first time, I was addicted. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is the look. Mm-hmm. Oh, I am it. You can't tell me nothing.
Absolutely.
Like, did you have that, or were you like, I'm good? Like, what?
I was pretty conscious by that point of like, what my hair felt like. And to do that in middle school, to run my fingers through my hair when it was straight for the very first time, like that's a feeling I'll never forget. I was obsessed.
Princess Diaries when they do the makeover.
Yes.
They make the curly hair like less like attractive, but it is beautiful. But like that is like how the media portrayed it to me when I was little, like that curly hair wasn't attractive and straight hair was. But like, how did you feel?
You know, it felt different, just because it didn't feel like me, if that makes sense. Like, okay. I just identified myself with this like kind of like curly mane a little bit. So then whenever I would straighten my hair, it was for some very special occasion, I guess.
It was
fun to do it, but it wasn't like an everyday thing. It also takes, as we've established how much hair I have, like it takes a long time.
Right.
So I don't want to put in all that time.
I think that is a really empowering thing that you just said. Like you straightened your hair, but it didn't feel like you. Mm-hmm. And for you to be so young and to be aware that it didn't feel like you, and to not do it all the time.
Yeah.
No matter what, like, you saw in the media or on television or anything, I think that is, like, I think that's profound. It's personally something that I just figured out, like, last year. Like, oh, when I wear wigs, it doesn't feel like me. Maybe I should stop wearing wigs. Like, that didn't click for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I know this doesn't feel like me, but I look in the mirror and it looks the bomb.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep wearing it.
Yeah.
But you figured that out in the seventh grade, Brittany? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I think it was a combination of that as well as being lazy, I guess. But like
In the best way.
But also nowadays, like trying to maintain natural curls is very time consuming and difficult too. So I don't know what I was thinking. I also just didn't have a lot of the like straightening tools available to me at home. And yeah, I was too busy in high school. I didn't have time for that. So,
and then when did you start growing it out? Like from the bob?
Totally. I would say the first like long running gig I got, you know, because I think it was Dreamgirls, and I think I was out in Chicago for about 5 months. And I remember during that run of the show, I never got my hair cut. So, you know, from start to finish, I came back to New York with like this kind of like length, and it was like moving. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Oh.
Did it feel like sexy? Like, what did it feel like?
Yeah, it felt like I had like options all of a sudden rather than like a straight little, not straight bob, but like a short bob.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like bouncy, whatever. Like having shoulder length curls was kind of like, oh, I could. Oh, this is what a hair flip is. Oh, this is different.
Oh, I wish I could see you like like figuring this out for the first time. Because like, what a feeling. Like,
we'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
So like you're one of my hair, like, oh, like when I look at your hair, I'm just like, oh my, like that's how I feel. I can't even put words to it. It's just like a, oh.
Oh, thanks. It's taken time. It's just taken a lot of time to like figure out what works. And also, you know, we all love a product, don't we? And I feel like I'll find something for a little while and then it stops doing what it was doing before. So then I have to find new products. There's like always this weird rotation. Isn't there this joke that like black women have like their sink, under sink cabinets full of half full product bottles?
Yes.
That's me. That's absolutely me. I have so many products. It's just, I don't know. It's an ongoing journey.
Well, wait, what are you using right now?
Let's see. Let's go with what I just used. What did I just use? Oh, okay. So I just discovered, this is a new little piece of the puzzle. I just discovered the Denman brush. And I know this has like kind of been a thing.
But
like,
you better explain it because I don't know what it is. And if I don't know what it is, I'm sure somebody who's listening is like, what is the Denman brush? What is that?
The Denman brush. D-E-N-M-A-N. One word.
Not denim. Not like my jean brush.
No. Oh, no.
The Denman brush.
And God, it's I just wrote it down. And it's a brand. And I don't know how I came upon it. I think I was like looking at curly hair on Instagram or something. And I came across, you know, those tutorial videos. And this girl was like using this brush and it was already detangled and it was wet. And she had her product in and she like swiped the brush over her hair. And then all of a sudden her curls just like popped into these like perfect little ringlets.
What?
I know.
I'm like so tempted to Google it right now, but I'm like, I need to make sure that this keeps recording.
Yes, make a note and then make do a deep dive later because it's going to be a deep dive because I've seen tutorials where people are like, this is not working on my hair at all, like at all. And then other girls, right. Like they are perfect ringlets. That's
how?
Just how they naturally dry. It's something about maybe the brush because it's like a rounded base. And then the little spokes that pop up don't have little nubs at the end. It's like this little just like straight little kind of thing. And it's really used to not to tangle, but to style. So okay. You already have to do like your finger detangling. And then once you have like all of your setting product in, it's like you go, there's like a technique, you go from underneath your hair up, out and over.
Okay.
And then it just like, it just pops into these like cute little ringlets. And it's, you know, you got to have it done wet because of course dry is a no-no.
Right.
But
so now I'm wondering like what kind of curls does it work on? Does it work on, like, how would you describe your, do you know what kind of curls you have?
So the nape of my neck, I'm like a good like 4B texture. It is so bizarre. And then it goes, as you like crawl up my head, I sit more in like a 3B, 3C area. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I get to talk about this on a podcast.
Right.
This is awesome. Do we need to go over the textures? I mean,
I'm all for it. I'm like, I'm learning too. I'm like, I thought I was a 3C, but I know that you and my hair is different. So I'm like,
yeah.
So the nape of your neck is a 4B.
Yeah.
Like, tell me more. Keep going.
So the higher up you go on my head, the looser my curls get. And I don't know, maybe it's because of length. Like, that's just how my hair is cut, is at the top is longer. But when I run the brush through it, it's like everything that's like framing my face are very, very tight little ringlets. And then I have a hard time with the top of my head not getting frizzy because I have more like wavy texture up there. And that doesn't curl so well.
What is up with that?
I don't know.
My top gets frizzy too. Like, I can get it looking good for a good hour. And then,
oh, man. I hear that. I totally hear that.
It's like, I looked the bomb when I left. I promise.
I know. Oh, maybe it's just New York. I mean, humidity is such a thing. It's just relentless.
I mean, but also, what styling product? Like, what?
Yes. So the product that I go through, I'm trying to use up this bottle of Diva Curl, and it's the Archangel. It's like it's one of the highest holding gels that they have.
Okay.
And then whatever leave-in conditioner I have lying around.
Got it. I'm the same way.
Yeah. It's just kind of whatever is closest to my fingers. That'll
grab. So you like the Diva Curl?
I do. I also like the woman who is cutting my hair right now. She owns a salon called The Curl Suite out in Chelsea, and she also has her own line of products. And my favorite of hers is her mousse. So when I don't feel like using the Denman brush, I will use the mousse and run my fingers through it and let it air dry. As much as possible, I really try to air dry because, I don't know,
Instead of using heat.
Exactly. Yeah. I used a diffuser the last time I washed my hair and then used the gel and the Denman brush on top of it. And it just, I got that weird like halo of fuzz around my the crown of my head. And I was like, oh, no. So, yeah. Hair drying is my thing.
And you don't touch it. Do you touch it after you've?
I try not to, but it's so hard.
But you do, don't you?
Yeah. One thing
if I touch mine, I can forget it. It's frizz. It's all for
it. It's just going to be there. You just have to accept it. But you remember all those clips that I used? I mean, I guess like we were always in wig prep most of the time, but like I have those little, I don't even know what they're called. They're not bobby pins. They're not like those metal fisheye clips, but they're like.
Oh gosh, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know how to.
They're like inch long plastic claw clips. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
And that's been like my saving grace with air drying, is because I kind of gather as far as how I want my hair to lay when it's dry, like kind of up or figure out my part and then kind of set it near the top of my scalp, I guess. Once that's set, then I don't touch it because then it can dry and then I can take the clips out and then it'll still have some volume, because otherwise if I set it wet and then didn't put anything to encourage it to have some volume, it would be so flat and so sad.
Literally, I am like, I know I'm like hosting this podcast, but you better believe I am over here taking notes, honey. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. How long do you have to sit for it to air dry before you go anywhere?
Oh, Lord. So long.
Like, are we talking an hour? Are we talking 12 hours? Like, what?
Before you take the clips out. So, okay. Say I had like dinner at 7 and I know I wanted to go with like a fresh, cute style. I would probably schedule my workout at like 1 o'clock, and then I take my shower at like 2 or 2:30, perhaps.
Okay.
Then I would deep condition for 10 minutes. Say I'm like all set and ready to go, like hair wise by like 3:30.
Okay. It's like we're talking a wash and go.
Yes. A good rake and shake, wash and go.
Nice.
I would give myself like 2.5 hours of air drying, I think. Maybe 3. Maybe 3.5.
Inconvenient, 3. But like not impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would make sure, like, you know, I'm like, I mean, I just schedule my day around that. Like, if I know I have to sit and air dry somewhere, like, I'll save all of my computer work for then. So I'm not running around. That's the worst one. Like, you have to wash and go and run right out the door, because then it's never gonna set.
It's never. And I do the whole flat thing. First of all, I never do wash and goes. I always do twist outs these days because I have to figure out how to master a wash and go. Mm-hmm. But maybe the clips will help, because it's just flat and poofy at the same time. How?
Yeah, no, we don't
want
that. That's so real. Okay.
But like, okay, so here's something that you taught me. It was one of those moments of like me realizing that people have different hair goals, and have different perspectives on what they like and all of the things. I remember on tour, when you and I were on tour with Beautiful, I forgot what city we were in, your hair had gotten so long.
Mm-hmm.
It had gotten so long. And you were like, I need to cut it. I'm like, what? What? Like, in my head, it was like such a mind-blowing thing. Mm. I was like, your hair is so long, you're gonna cut it. I think in a lot of Black families, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but like in mine, it's like, you can't cut your hair. Like,
really?
Yes. It's like, sometimes it's very hard to grow. So it's like cutting your hair is very like taboo in my family.
Oh my,
and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're gonna cut it. And you went, I think you got a diva cut.
Mm-hmm.
You came back and it was shorter and it was bigger and you loved it. First of all, you looked amazing. So there is that. let's start with that. You looked amazing. But it was so interesting to me that you wanted shorter, bigger hair. And it like almost changed my mind because I was watching you love it so much.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean at all?
Yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea. I guess I always kind of grew up with this idea of like, you get your hair trimmed regularly so that it is encouraged to keep growing healthily. Otherwise, like I get split ends. I think I was getting pretty bad split ends on tour.
I couldn't tell. I feel like it's harder to tell with curls.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But I could.
You're like, I knew it was there. Right. Right.
Oh, but also trying to get all that hair under a wig too. And the longer my hair gets, the more breakage I get around my face.
Really?
I've noticed that the last couple years. Yeah, just because it's heavy, and on a show schedule where we're like putting bobby pins in it 8 shows a week.
Nasia was talking about that too.
Yeah. It's just awful. It's just so bad for our hair. Like there's not like a better way to do it. Not that I found.
I mean, would you prefer, and I'm not being facetious, I'm actually asking, and because I do want to know, would you prefer wearing your natural hair in a show?
See, that's the other question. That's what other people have said. And I was like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into? Because then trying to style it like that requires a lot of hairspray, requires a lot of product.
A lot of time.
So you're going to be messing with it kind of either way. I think there's probably some wonderful way to prep your hair for a wig that I don't know quite yet.
And I can we talk about morning. That for a second? Mm-hmm. Because your wig prep, because like you have said, you have a lot. Mm-hmm. You have a lot mm-hmm. of hair. Mm-hmm. And your wig prep is, out of everyone I've ever seen, you've got the biggest wig prep I have ever seen. Like, can we talk about this?
Yeah. Yeah, you sound like literally every wig designer I've ever met. Because these are the folks who really think I have extensions in, and they're like, can you take them out? I was like,
please take them out.
About? No,
I can't.
This is me.
I remember I definitely like struggled on tour, even though those wigs, now in hindsight, they fit so well.
Darn. Darn.
Yeah. Yeah. But I learned a lot from Rebecca Covington Weber, who you should definitely have on the show if you haven't asked her.
Oh, I have questions for Rebecca.
Yeah, because she had this wonderful technique of wrapping her hair. I don't think I was doing that on tour, but since then I've absolutely adopted it. I have two pin curls on my temples and then sometimes at the nape of my neck for, you know, just pinning and access points. But otherwise, yes. Then the meat of my hair, I've got like, you know, almost a small, tiny little bun dead center. And then I wrap everything else around it flat with large, like 2-inch bobby pins. And that's been,
got it.
That's been okay. It's not been great. Because it's still like, my hair is still curly. I've had people ask me if I could straighten it before I prep it.
Not if we're gonna do this on an open-ended show, yes. 8 times a week.
Exactly
Maybe for a weekend,
maybe
but like maybe like as in like more on the nose side.
yeah but I spent last year for Tootsie, I covered Lily Cooper, who is also another lovely mixed lady. And she keeps her hair actually relatively short. And she also wets her hair, like almost like deep conditions it during every show. Her hair is wet. Oh, God. What? Am I telling all of her secrets? I'm so sorry, Lily. It's not like, let me clarify. It's not like wet or dripping or anything. But like,
let me clarify.
Whatever she's doing, it's working really, really well.
Oh my God.
Brittany, you are crazy. You're crazy.
You're talking about everybody's business, naming name. Oh God, it's terrible. This is so great. Sorry.
Y'all gotta listen to this one. Brittany gives away all the secrets of everybody in the business. No, they're all good things.
Yeah, and then I tried to do it, and I was like, oh, okay, Lily is, like, killing it right now. Like, she doesn't have to worry about her prep ever. And so I was like, okay, well, let me try, like, putting deep conditioner. What she does is she puts it into a little spray bottle mixed with water, and then she'll spray.
Okay.
And I was like, let me try that. And then my scalp would end up getting really irritated because it was, like, a sauna with all of my hair. In there and the wet bobby pins on top of that, and I think that was leading to a lot of the breakage. So if anybody has any suggestions for wig prep, I will happily take it.
Wait, with your hair wet during a show, for me, like, my wigs would just slip right off. Mm-hmm. Is that ever a problem for you? Mm-mm. No. No?
Well, no.
And Lily?
I'm like, Lily, you need to come up on here so I can ask you some questions.
Yeah, get Lily on here. She never really talked about problems, but we also, with so many shows that have Black people in them, often the designers are not Black. So,
right.
I remember my first wig fitting with this show with Lily. They weren't prepped with what I needed. I didn't have the bobby pins that I usually have. Like, I wasn't told to come prepped either. It was bizarre. So the fitting that I had when they took the cast of my prep was very incorrect. Like, it was like 2.5 times the size it probably should have been. So then we had it was crazy.
What? Bigger than it usually is?
It was even bigger. It was crazy.
How dare you? Oh my gosh. You guys, I wish you could see Brittany Coleman's wig prep. So if she's saying that like it was 2.5 times bigger, that's just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was like a whole other person's head on top of my head.
Oh my gosh.
So then we had to resize all of my wigs like 2 months later. It was crazy. So, you know, it just, it, start correctly is all I have to say. Like, if you get a good wig cast right off the bat, then keeping it consistent will be the hardest thing that you have to do rather than trying to adjust.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you guys get personalized wigs for company?
Yes. Yes, we did. But actually, I'm using my real hair. And
really?
A couple of the other girls are using their own hair as well.
Would you like to comment on this or no?
Yeah. Because I'm a weird – I cover Bobby. I cover our – we have, like, what, 6 leading ladies, and I cover 3 of them.
Amazing.
And it's like we have sort of an ensemble. We've built an ensemble around the show, so I'm kind of part of that. But like, my main focus is to cover these ladies as well as be on stage for a couple of things.
Wow. Okay.
So those of us that are kind of like in this position are like half in wigs, half not. Like not really mic'd. It's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, but for this. Once I knew what styles they were looking for from me, I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Like, I have basically a low ponytail and a high ponytail.
Okay. Okay.
Those are my 2 looks for my regular track. However, it will be very tricky if we ever come to that point where someone calls out mid-show, because then I will have to
prep.
I have to get in full prep for those characters. You know, knock on wood, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but...
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not in wig, at least when you're in the track that you just described, are your hair costs being covered, like haircuts?
Ooh, good question. I don't
because
know
because a haircut
haircuts.
Can be expensive for...
It is.
I'm like, you want me to wear my natural hair out?
Oh, absolutely. You? Absolutely. I always make sure to like have my products... covered.
Okay.
It really depends on the contract. Because I know the guys always, not only do they get their haircuts covered, but often they just go to the wig room to get their haircut. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We didn't run long enough for me to bring that up, but
that
is
definitely. Oh, well, you will be back. Yeah. I feel that.
Thanks.
You feel that in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a second, but we're coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's not a question of if, it's just when.
Yes.
Feel very grateful to say that, for sure.
Thank God.
But yeah, so, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, for sure.
Okay. I will probably be following up because I want to know, honey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and always the girls who are first, and you, when I say first, I mean original Broadway cast. I'm like, whatever you do, like, you're looking out for all the girls who are coming after you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you are the leader. Like, so it's like, thank God for you. And also, like, please ask all the questions.
Absolutely.
And because all the girls who are in college or people that you know, like, whatever, when they see the show, they're like, okay, when they go get into that track, it's like, all right, what did the girl before me?
Totally.
Establish, mm-hmm. which is a very special thing, but also like a responsibility.
Yeah. I remember that with Beautiful Broadway, because they were such a well-oiled machine coming in there.
Yes. A very,
as you know, for sure.
There were times I have not met Carly Hughes yet, and there have been times when I'm like, Carly, I have questions. Why? Why you got the track going like this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I know. But to be in the room where that happened, where they made those decisions, like, why?
We'll be right back right after the break.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Before I let you go, but I'm just having like, I'm having fun talking to you.
Me too.
I'm so glad that you're on here. Okay, what's the craziest thing you'd ever consider doing to your natural hair?
Ooh. Well, I mean, in quarantine, I've been in New York this entire time, so we're going on 6 months now.
Wow.
And at first I was like, maybe I'll just do a big chop. What if I just did that? What if I did it? I don't know.
You'll break the internet.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll do like a mohawk, like those cute little, like, I love a curly mohawk that's actually a little long and you can like kind of flip it to one side. Like, I think that's like so sexy.
Wait, with it shaved on the sides?
Yeah, like a good fade, like a legit fade into like a longer, like barrel curled type of top.
Oh my gosh.
Situation. Ooh. Yeah. But like the question is timing. Like if we knew at the beginning of this year that we wouldn't be back until the end of perhaps 2021.
Hello.
Oh yeah. I totally would have cut my hair. Now time is ticking because I'm like, I don't think it could grow back.
Right.
By that time. And I've already been fit for all my wigs now.
Dang. So,
yeah. But I think a big chop is sometime in my future. I kind of look forward to that. It seems so low maintenance.
You know that when this happens, I will be zooming in on my Instagram page. I'll be like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't even remember what that's like to not have hair like on my shoulders, like wet hair. You know what I mean?
Right.
That feeling is like so visceral to me.
Wow.
Just like, this is my life. I have semi-damp hair on my shoulders most of the time.
I mean, honestly, Brittany, you're so beautiful. Whatever you do with your hair, whatever you – like, it's going to work. Even if it wouldn't work on anybody else, it will work on you. Seriously.
Thank you.
Okay. Before I let you go, how are you doing? Like, are you – and it's okay. I just want to say, for those who are listening – during this quarantine, you can be doing the most and accomplishing all the things. And also, if you're sitting on your couch not doing anything, that is okay too. Period. Yeah. Because sometimes we just need a rest, especially Brittany. Like, you're one of those people that always works. You will always continue to work. And your schedule is so crazy. So to have this break, like, that is just, I'm imagine it's a blessing. Like, it's a blessing for me. I imagine this one for you too. But how are you spending this time? Like, are you resting? Are you busy? What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I would say it's just lovely to be blessed with work. But previews, as you know, are so hard. Like, that whole preview period is so difficult. Yeah. You're at the theater, you know, in the morning all the way through night, and then you have to come back and do notes and work, and they're just the longest days. And we were all feeling incredibly overwhelmed. Mm. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to learn all this material. I don't have time to do any of this. I'm so not ready. And then to have some time to learn my stuff was wonderful, to just like sit and breathe. Now, I will say I haven't worked on any of it because it makes me sad.
Dang. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
I feel the same way about Britney.
It makes me really
– I mean, the Britney musical. I'm talking to a Britney right now.
That took me a second, too. I was like, Britney,
what?
The Britney Spears musical. Sorry.
Yeah. And you spell it the same way.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's to not know when we're coming back is hard. And just knowing how I work, like, I'm not going to learn all this stuff and then sit and forget it for another 6 months and then have to relearn all of it all over. No, right. I'm going to wait until I know when we're coming back. Right. Hopefully we'll get like 6 weeks notice. So that's going to be the perfect amount of time for me to get back in shape.
6 weeks in sounds gear. Good. I would take 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we all could use it, but I think we need it. For sure. Enough time has passed that I don't think
we're all going to be in the parks going over dance choreo. Like,
seriously. Oh, it's going to be, you know, Broadway boot camp for all of us.
Truly. Truly. Mm-hmm. Broadway freaking boot camp.
And I'm going to need a minute. I can't just have like a week and then be
Right. That's so
real. Yeah, it's going to be a second. So it's, you know, it's trying to enjoy this time that I have now to to get healthy, to do all of my PT exercises finally.
You've always been good about
rest.
That.
I try. And then, you know, stay sane in the meantime. Like, I've been lucky to be linked up with an organization that does concerts for folks in nursing homes.
Is this Sing for Hope?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I've posted about them a couple times.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with them. And they've given me a platform to develop my own concerts. So now I'm like, oh, well, maybe.
Brittany.
This can translate into my own concert when we're all back. Like, it's just been a fun time to explore and to touch base with, like, the kind of songs and style of singing that makes me happy, which is jazz. I miss jazz.
Oh my God.
Where are the jazz musicals? I want to do that.
Right. Oh, that is fantastic. And that's all for Sing for Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part.
Oh, so that's, you absolutely should do your show. Do a show. Your show.
Thanks. Yeah. Nasia and I got to get on that too. We were talking about that for a while.
Okay, will you tag team? You know. Will you do one together?
Maybe. Maybe, perhaps. I don't know. Hey, Nasia.
Hey, Nasia. I just recorded with her yesterday.
Ugh,
she's
amazing.
Crazy.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed. She's getting so much done. It's amazing. It's like, it's just wonderful to see how everyone is using their art as almost activism in
yes.
a way, too. That's been a major element of quarantine is right. the other things that are happening
right.
in this world besides a global pandemic. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we have to talk about.
There's a lot. So, and it's nice. It's inspiring yeah. to see you using your platform and mm-hmm. your voice to, like, be like, hey, guys,
vote.
Hey, I'm in Times Square. I'm an mm-hmm. arts worker. And mm-hmm. please vote.
Please vote.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. If I could get one message across. That's it. Just vote. Please.
Please. Please vote. Please vote. And with that, folks, thank you. Brittany, seriously, thank you for spending this time with me. I'm like, it's so nice to catch up and like,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you're doing well. I've taken some notes. I can't wait to get some clips for my, try my new wash and go. Like,
oh, I love it. Well, thank you so much for asking me.
Yay.
Always happy to talk about this stuff and just talk to you. It's been so long.
I know. It feels so good. It feels so good to catch up. Like I said earlier before we started recording, I was like, I can feel your dimples through this microphone. Like, oh. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, bye, girl.
Bye.
Y'all, Brittany Coleman is the straight up bomb. I'm so glad I got a chance to sit down and talk with her. And this, I recorded this episode before I had video up, so I won't have any video to attach to this on my Patreon. But I just want to say how much I love her. Please look her up, follow her on Instagram at Brittany Coleman. Special shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Thank you to Wilton Music, who produced my theme song, Love COD, which the full version is available on iTunes, sung by yours truly. Hello. This episode was edited by me, which I'm laughing because if it sucked, that is why. I'm gonna get better, I promise. Also, subscribe, rate, and share this podcast. Let me know what you think, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to Black Hair and the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.